Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast, featuring James Creviston and Luke LaCoy. Yeah, we're about to get clean up in here, so clean your mouth out with a bar of soap and get ready for the Clean Comedy Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. I'm James Creviston, and this week I'm here today with my co-host, Mr. Luke LaCoy.
Hi.
Woo! And our special guest today is Mr. David Studebaker.
Boo!
Why are you going to boo yourself? You're going to boo yourself. I don't have to hear that. I hope that was a moo and not a boo.
This guy again, the third time. How many times do I have to listen to this guy?
So today we want to talk about David and his web series and show, David's Ark. Right now it's on YouTube, but there are other things, and it's going kind of all over the world. More people are watching it, more people are seeing it. So what I want to talk to you about, infotainment. That's kind of where you can find information, so a lot of information on that show, as well as entertaining. So you want to keep it entertaining, keep it light, keep it fun, keep it fluffy, while covering some topics that are sometimes sad, sometimes rough, sometimes a little dark, sometimes a little unfortunate. So let's talk about that. How did you... First of all, that's the question. How did you come up with the idea for David's Ark? How did you come to that?
Well, it was a long and winding road. Let me take you back to 1976. I had done various gigs for, there's a cable network that I did some stuff for, some man on the street stuff around recycling and food and stuff like that. And I had also been hired by some companies to kind of do that sort of thing for them internally. So I was thinking, I was watching one of the nature documentaries. It was actually Chasing Coral on Netflix. And it was about the coral reefs dying, and I was feeling very depressed. And I was kind of thinking, you know, animals and the environment have always been important to me, and I was thinking, what's a way that I could kind of bring something to the equation that would help and also be kind of unique? So I realized if I took kind of that model of making things that aren't necessarily funny, like you so beautifully laid out, if I kind of take that model and apply it to this, it could be a nice thing. And also, you know, so much of what you see, for good reason, because there's a lot of horrible things that humans are doing to animals and the environment, a lot of what you see in documentaries and stuff is all those horrible things to kind of shock us into doing something about it. But I kind of wanted to take it from a different angle of, you know, look at all the good things that people are doing and inspiring things they're doing, and here's ways you can do good things too. So kind of coming at it from the opposite angle, and bringing, you know, humor and joy to it, and so that was a big part of it. The other end of it was, you know, I had been kind of trying to play the LA game of auditioning and kind of doing things that I thought that I was supposed to do, and it kind of was leaving me unfulfilled. And so I just kind of wanted to do something that, whether or not it was successful, whether or not I made a dime out of it, I would feel good about it, that I've made something that I really care about and that I'm proud of, because in the end, you know, money and all of that falls away, and it gets down to what you do with the gifts that you have. So so that's kind of the journey.
I like that. So you wanted to mix what you do in entertainment wise, being a comedian, doing things that are funny, but also bring a lighthearted, fun feel to things that might be a little bit harder to digest personally. So what is your goal with David's Ark? Like, what are you hoping to get out of it? Are you hoping to move people to action? Are you hoping to save animals, get money for these charities or these groups that you highlight? What is your goal with David's Ark?
I would say yes. All of the above. I mean, it varies kind of episode to episode. So some episodes, I mean, in general, I would hope that all of these inspire people to, in whatever way they feel called, whether that's just, you know, donating a little money or volunteering or changing their various habits, whatever that is, that's, you know, I would hope. But But each episode, it does vary a little bit. So we had our No Pause Left Behind episode where the subject of it, she really desperately needed a new van. So that one was very much, you know, let's raise some money here. And then like our most recent one at the Marine Mammal Center was, you know, more to kind of make people think about how our consumer actions affect, you know, the ocean and the animals that live in the ocean and all that. So it, you know, it varies. And then kind of the ultimate goal is to get as big of an audience for it as possible. And I can't talk about it, but there are, we've gotten into a few film festivals that I can talk about, and we won some awards, but there's potential for bigger horizons coming. Hopefully you will see David Zark on your favorite streaming or cable network.
Awesome.
What, speaking of, well, like film festival stuff, what kind of film festivals, can you mention any of the film festivals or any of the things that have happened with the film festivals at all?
I have some funny stories from the most recent one that Luke and I went to, the Oregon Documentary Film Festival in Portland, which was a blast, and I somehow won Best Director there, which was very cool. The funny stuff comes in just our journey to get there was moist, I would say is the word for it. So we got into a previously we had gotten into a few smaller festivals, but the Oregon Documentary Film Festival is a really good one. All three of us are going to the Golden Door Film Festival in Jersey City in September, and that's a really big one. It's an international film festival. And then it looks like we got into another film festival in LA that's another big international one. So it's been nice because the show, I wanted to do the show in kind of not do it to fit the internet, but do it as much as possible as a high quality 30-minute television show.
Right.
So that, because typically that kind of a thing, it doesn't come organically out of YouTube or Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, usually it's shorter, clippier things. But this is the only way I wanted to do it, and so, you know, and we do, you know, we've had our eye on potentially, getting it on a larger platform. So it's been nice because we have a good amount of views, but it's been really nice to kind of have it put up in front of, you know, judges and people in the industry and all of that, and to kind of get some little extra boosts for that as we take it out into the great world known as Hollywood.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, yeah, like I was going to say, disclaimer, I have been on the show. I have helped worked on the project. So I have a little bit of skin in this game, not as much as you guys do, obviously, but it is important. And I think, honestly, for me, Dave Zark opened my eyes to a lot of things that I maybe didn't know about or wasn't really in my peripheral. It wasn't on my radar. I didn't know enough about it. So I actually didn't know very much about kill shelters and no kill shelters. I didn't know very much about rescues. I definitely didn't know anything about marine mammals and how those get rescued. I always assumed, and I know this sounds weird, I always assumed zoos rescued sea animals. I had no clue. Or like SeaWorld or something. I had no clue. I didn't know. And so it was good. This thing, it opened up my eyes. For me, one, it's entertaining to watch, right? Because I go back and still watch the episodes, and I have watched all of them. But I've also learned a lot. And that's what I love about this is that your show is what a lot of people refer to as infotainment, where you're getting some information, you're getting some entertainment. And you're right, this format wouldn't have worked for YouTube or something like that because those shows are usually 6 to 8 minutes so you can keep the viewer's attention. And you don't really want to go over that 10-minute mark because then they kind of zone out, right? So you're in this weird place. You're in the world where you could use it, turn it into a web series if you wanted to. But the goal of looking at for mainstream television, cable, TV, Amazon streaming, whatever like that, that is a good goal because then you could have the entirety of the episode. And I think you would be doing a disservice to the places that you highlight and the people that you highlight if you only did it in 6 and 8 minute increments. I don't think it would be as impactful, honestly.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate you saying that, and I think the other aspect too that, you know, you guys know and people who are in the who are in that world know, but most people don't, the average person wouldn't know, is the YouTube algorithms and the Facebook algorithms are specifically designed so that things that are that kind of spark outrage or controversy, they have a much easier road to getting suggested and getting seen, and those are the things that really kind of crackle on there.
Yeah,
and so that's also like us taking the approach of something that is geared more towards a, you know, somewhat family friendly, you know, television show or streaming show. It once again makes it so it's not it's like I'm really thankful that YouTube is there and Facebook is there because it's allowed us, we, you know, we have a good amount of views, but it's allowed us to kind of get it out there and get the ball rolling. But yeah, and the other thing that where you started with about like you didn't know all these things, I appreciate you saying that because that's kind of that was the other goal that I had where I kind of wanted to give people the benefit of the doubt, give people like you the benefit of the doubt of like, you know, people who are really deeply in the animal world, the environmental world, they just kind of assume everyone knows everything and that their way they're acting is just because they suck as opposed to like they just don't know or it's just not a part. People are working so hard just to like put food on the table and go to work and just like live their lives, you know, that it's hard to kind of step outside of that. And so that's part of why, like, within the show, I incorporate, because in my stand-up, I bring people on stage and I do a lot of audience interaction and I kind of poke fun at people in a kind of loving, playful way. So I bring that into the fold when I do it. But I also try to, you know, make it so a lot of the time the joke is on me. So I kind of jump into these people's worlds and I kind of allow myself to be the butt of certain jokes because, like, I don't know, you know, I do stupid things, right? I thought a horse was an emu, and, you know, I screwed up. I was trying to feed a camel its medicine, and I dropped a banana.
Banana.
I do a lot of that. And actually, it was funny. I was just talking to someone. She's a producer and manager in Hollywood, and she really likes the show. And one of the things she said that I hadn't really thought about is that by me jumping in and trying to do what these people do and looking like a fool, it makes, they already look amazing, the work they do, but it makes them look even more amazing because like, wow, like this is just like, look what an average everyday guy, how much he's struggling. So the fact that these people do this seamlessly and every day, it shows, wow, they're even that much more amazing.
Yeah, I can think about when we did No Pause Left Behind, and it's like how hot it was, how tired I was. I was holding a camera, and I was tired. I was like, "What is going on right now?" Every week. I was like, "Oh,
that one." For the viewers that haven't seen that one, and that's actually the one that episode. Our newest episode, Marine Mammal Center, that was the one that won the award at Oregon Documentary Film Festival, and is in the festival down here in October. But the No Pause Left Behind episode is the one that will be at the New Jersey, the Golden Door one, which is great because James has a lot of great moments there. James has great little moments in various episodes, but that No Pause Left Behind one, he has a few really great moments on camera a few times. So it's a good one for you to be there for. But it's funny because that one, you know, I kind of go in and out of being in good shape physically, but I'm 30. I'm in pretty good shape. I work out. I eat well. And that was October, and us putting those like 50 crates in that van, I was dying. And this woman who does this, she's a diabetic cancer survivor, and like, you know, she's doing this every week, and it's just, you know, and you'll see if you watch the episode, listeners at home, if you watch the episode, you'll see that I am a messy puddle. Luke and James had the benefit of being behind the camera, so they didn't get to be seen quite as gross as I was. But
well, and then yeah, she was, just like how early she wakes up too to do all that stuff.
Yes, like, and I'm, and as you guys know I am not a morning person. You'll see in the episode, it's still dark out when we started. It was like, what, 5 in the morning, 4:45, whatever it was. And I looked like garbage. And yeah, she does it every week. She drives from Bakersfield to the Bay Area and back all in one day every week. And she saved over 12,000 dogs and cats' lives, and pretty remarkable woman.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was awesome. And that really opened my eyes to a lot of stuff that we don't see.
Yeah.
Luke, did you have a question? I thought you had a question. Sorry.
Yeah. What's been your favorite episode out of the ones that have been made? What's been your favorite episode?
Well, I would say, you know, I would kind of say in a way all of them. But that's a terrible answer. But the newest one, the Marine Mammal Center one, to me is maybe my favorite in that it kind of captures the full spectrum of what the mission of the show is. It captures people helping animals, but it also captures kind of our impact on the environment. It kind of, to me, is a perfect kind of blend of the environmental side and also the animal side. So that one is, I know Luke and I, is one of our favorites, is Santa's Village. We did a Christmas episode like a year and a half ago, and it was actually the first thing we ever shot, and it was just Luke and I at a Santa Claus North Pole theme park, and me just walking around making people feel uncomfortable. So that one probably is the least connected to our message and show. It's kind of a 7-minute kind of random thing, and it's not my like favorite legitimately, but there are things in it that I just the premise is basically, it was like a joke that I went up there and I thought I was actually at the North Pole and it was like 80 degrees and I was freaking out that, you know, the North Pole has melted and yada yada. So that's probably one that gets the least amount of play. that's always the case. It's always like, you know, we're all comedians. Like, there's always that like joke that you really like.
Yes.
Like, I don't like it, but it's like a weird one. But that's
yep. Everybody has that joke.
Well, but I will say, the other episodes we've done, all of the ones where we visited places, like, I mean, the No Pause Left Behind one, to me emotionally, that one is, hits me the most emotionally and hits most people. It's just so powerful seeing her.
Agreed.
These dogs out of these kill shelters. And then, you know, the one, like, the farm episode, my mother-in-law's farm, I mean, that was just beautiful, just picturesque, and you know, it just, there's a lot I love all of them.
Yeah, it's like, that's the way I say about my kids. I love both of them. But yeah, that's the thing, is this show has a great impact, and that's kind of the future, I think, of a lot of things, is what they call infotainment, where you get informed on a subject, you get informed on a topic, but you're also getting some entertainment value out of it as well. I think that's the best way. A lot of people learn that way. They learn easier that way. They're able to grasp other concepts that way. And for me, I know that was very beneficial, me learning things that I didn't know before. I like I said, I didn't know very much about no-kill shelters or rescues or the marine life thing, which was very interesting to me and very eye-opening. Because I always assumed SeaWorld or the zoo or whatever was doing these kind of things, and I didn't realize it was other organizations that are more private organizations that are out there doing those things. So this is great. I'm glad that you have it. Where can people find David's Ark? Where can they go watch episodes? Where can they support this show and support the people behind it?
So if you go to YouTube, my YouTube channel is just David Studebaker. That's my name. So you can find it on YouTube, search me or search David's Ark. All the episodes are there. Our Facebook page has a few of the episodes. It also has links to that. And it also has other posts about festivals we're in, and you can follow different things. So that's, I think, facebook.com/David's Ark Show. And then you can also go to my website, davidstudebaker.com. All of the episodes are there. All of your David's Ark needs are there.
I want to get like a David's Ark shirt. That's what we need, is David Ark shirt.
I know. I shirts are so expensive, especially when they're. I was looking into doing that but like putting the logo on there. But like to get like a logo like that, the picture, they're just crazy expensive. But
you do print on demand. There's a lot of print on demand stuff that you could do.
No, I looked at that. I looked at those. They're like if you do just like a normal like 2-color logo, it's cheap. But when you have like that, you know, the big banner, like when you have like 12 colors and it's like a beautiful picture, those things can cost a pretty penny.
What were you trying to put on there? Like you with the arc and the logo and stuff?
The
like,
logo, the big banner with me and the animals and the arc and the whole thing and the awards and all that. Those kind of things are, you know. I mean, if you sold them at like $35 a pop, like some of the nationally touring headliners they do, then you could still.
No. We'll have to figure out a simpler logo for this so we can make some shirts, make some money, and use some of that money to donate it towards some good causes. And that one of those causes is David's family too. So
that's it.
All right. So that's David Studebaker everywhere, correct? Instagram, Twitter, blah blah blah, all that stuff, right?
Yep. All the handles are David Studebaker.
All right, Luke, where can people find you at?
You can find me at LaCoy Comedy, and I'll put David's the links to the episodes and his end of the website on the show notes. So those will be.
Thank you for doing that, Luke. I will say in the future, next time I come on the show, if you could just interrupt me a little bit less, though, Luke, it really was hurtful. I mean, I couldn't get a word in edgewise. So
you know what? I have a good a t-shirt design. It'll be very simple. It says, is that an emu? And it has an outline of a horse.
That is genius. We should totally make that shirt. That shirt's getting made.
All right. Also, we didn't get to talk about the Portland trip. There was a lot of hijinks. Are we out of time? Are we on a time constraint? Do we got to go?
How long is that story going to take?
Oh, 3 minutes? A couple hours, but I mean, we have time. No, I mean it involves Luke's wet suitcase, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny, but we can do that another time if you guys have to go.
Well, here's what we're gonna do. We are gonna vlog. Just so everybody knows, we are gonna vlog on our trip to the Golden Door Film Festival. Is that right? Did I say it right?
Yep.
I
got it right.
Mm-hmm. Golden Door Film Festival in Jersey City, New Jersey, which we're going to September 18th through 23rd. We're going to be out in the New York, New Jersey area, so if you know shows that we can be on or have spots that we can come to or whatever, we'll be out there for that. We're going to vlog that, and then we're also going to take those and turn them into audio episodes for here. So there'll be plenty of time and plenty of material to use to we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about our journey there, talk about things we learned, hijinks in New York, hijinks we're sharing it up. Apartment together for a couple days. Mm-hmm. It's going to be
James is going to schmooze up that red carpet. He's going to be all over that.
That's right. I bought a suit. I bought a suit for it. Yes. Getting a haircut.
Yes.
I'm waxing my entire body. It's going to be great.
Love it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Check out Clean Comedy Podcast, comedypreneur.com, jamesdcrevison.com. You can find my stuff on YouTube. This podcast also goes on YouTube, goes on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all that stuff. So leave us reviews, leave us notes, leave us comments. And then also, like I said, support yourself, become a comedypreneur. Go ahead and check out How to Produce an Independent Comedy Show. Read the book when the second edition and third edition, all the future editions come out. If you buy it on Kindle, it updates automatically, so you don't have to worry about it. You buy it once, you get it forever. So go ahead and do that and help support so we can keep moving things forward and take charge of your show business life. Take part of the business side of that show business part. And thank you guys so much for listening to Clean Comedy Podcast. Have an excellent week, excellent day. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.